Let's open in prayer, because boy, I need it today. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We come to your throne of grace, Lord, asking that you would give us grace. Undeserved favor, Lord. We are undeserving. But you are good in spite of us. You are holy in spite of us, Lord. And you give good gifts to men. Though we be dark in our own ways. We ask that you would be with us, that your spirit would be present and lead and guide us, Lord. We ask that this time would be honoring to you and pleasing in your sight. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to open in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. 1 Corinthians is a really fascinating book because it's about the church that was doing everything wrong.
Woo! That's us.
But was still filled with the Spirit, was still called saints, was still used wildly. And boy, they were getting a little wild with it. One of the major issues that they had was unity. They were very strongly divided amongst themselves and bickering and fighting. And so Paul's kind of telling them, guys, stop fighting and get it together. So with that background, we come to verse 10 of chapter 3. We're not trying to put any of that on this church. I think we're much more unified than what is expressed in 1 Corinthians. But we always need more unity because we're never really as close as we want to be as the Lord would have us to be. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and start reading and let the Lord speak. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, this is Paul speaking, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. So there's something we've got to watch out for, something we need to be taken care of. For other foundation, like a different foundation, no man can lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our foundation. He is where we start. If you don't start with him, you're not building on the rock. And whatever you build will not stand, period. Amen. The end.
That's right.
Paul is saying, I presented Christ. I laid the foundation. I know y'all are on solid ground. So build well. Take heed how you build. Be careful how you build on this foundation. Don't start building off of the foundation. It's not going to work. Stay on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Build here. Don't go anywhere else. Build here. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, or it will be It will be known. It will be very clear what we built with. For the day shall declare it. What day?
The day.
The day. Amen. The day of the Lord. The one day that we're looking forward to, that we yearn towards, that we look to, where our hope is built. When the foundation comes back to us on earth, what a day that will be. Mm-hmm. Verse 13 again, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What's the difference between gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, hay, stubble? Combustibility. Mm-hmm. When the fire comes, what's going to be left? Wood, hay, stubble? Fervent heat. All that's burning up. And glory to God, when that day comes, the wood and the hay and the stubble that I have built with is going to be burned up and gone. I won't have to worry about it anymore, because it will be dealt with. It will be gone forever. It will be done. So, in one sense, we look back and we say, oh, that was a heyday.
Amen.
But it's going up in flames. And when it does, yeah, I'll have lost that day. But it's not following me into eternity. It's gone. It's going to be gone back behind me, done with, no more to follow me around. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I got a lot of those days. But the gold, the silver, and the precious stones are not combustible. So when the fire comes, they will last. That will follow us into eternity. The gold, the silver, and the precious stones. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If you build with gold, silver, precious stones, day by day, if you build with these, you will have a reward in heaven. And heaven is forever and beyond, because eternity is more than just forever. Like, it's weird. Eternity is weird. And you think about that sometime. We believe in eternal life. That's a little weird. But we do, because God said so. So, if any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If, verse 15, any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Goodbye. That's behind us. That's been burned up. No reward for that. But, that's an important but, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. One of the problems I tend to think we have in America is that we're a little bit lazy. Not talking to you specifically, but to the nation broadly speaking. We're lazy. Wood's easy to build with. I can put up a wood beam relatively quickly. Like, all right, I've got the tree or whatever. Here's my beam. This is how long I need it to be. Put it up. It's holding everything in place. Great. Job done. Move on. But that's going to go up in flames. Mm-hmm. If I build that same beam out of gold, that's going to take a lot of work. As metals go, gold's pretty easy to work with. As building materials go, not so much. Not so much. If I have to take a lump of gold and build a beam to support my house with, that's a lot of work. It's so much easier to just build it out of wood. Hey, I need something more. I need some insulation in the walls. Let me get some hay. Easy. Job done. Move on. And that's kind of how we think. But here's the comforting part. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. When the fire comes and burns everything up, if you had nothing in the building, if all you had was the foundation and your entire building is wood, hay, and stubble, and it goes up in flames, it's a shame. You have nothing to take with you into eternity, but you had the foundation. you may be, as it were, a refugee or a vagabond in heaven, so to speak, but you'll be there. You may be a little whiffy when you get there, so to speak, but you're there. The foundation gets you in, as it were. If you want to get there with anything to speak of, you gotta build with gold, silver, precious stones. Because the day after day after day of not building with those isn't going to be much good. And don't worry. How do we tell the difference between gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble? That's pretty simple. We're going to get to that in Galatians. So turn with me two books over to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 26. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. This is where Paul, speaking to the Galatians, pretty much lays it out. What's the difference between gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, in the practical day-to-day life? Like, what does that look like? What does it mean to build with gold? What does it mean to build with wood? What are we trying to talk about? 5:19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. They're obvious. They're plain to see. There's not really any hiding it. When you do something that is fleshly, when you do something that's wood, hay, stubble, it's pretty clear. Not always up front, but in the end, it's pretty obvious. The works of the flesh are manifest, obvious, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. It's not an exhaustive list, but it makes it pretty clear. The flesh things. Here's a little bit of a list so you have a picture of what they look like. And when it says something as, you know, big as adultery, remember, Christ himself said, if you just start with the eyes, you're in that category. There is no middle ground. It's either a work of the flesh or something of the spirit. But let's finish verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Are we talking about salvation? We're talking about inherit the kingdom of God. Not enter, but inherit. We're talking to people that have already laid the foundation. What we're saying is, if you build with these, it's going in the flames. The furnace is taking it all. None of that will follow you into eternity. There will be nothing left for you to inherit because you didn't do anything except flesh. So, if this is how you live, don't expect to receive a reward. Don't expect a pat on the back and a good job. You made it in. At least you had the foundation. But you don't bring anything with you. But, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. All right, let's go back to that and work through that a little bit. First of all, the fruit of the Spirit is singular. Both fruit and is are singular in the Greek. I went and looked that up because I heard that and was like, is that true? Look it up. Yeah. There's one fruit that the Spirit wants to build in you, wants to grow and develop in you. And then there's this list of multiple things. But like, maybe you can think of them as different sections of an orange. Maybe you can think of it as different halves of an apple or something like that. But it's one fruit. It all flows from one place. And he wants to develop one massive fruit in you. Corn will make one main sprout, and then some little suckers will grow off. And if you just leave it to do its own thing, it will produce small ears with corn. It'll have multiple ears, but they won't be very good. But if you come behind and pull the suckers off, you'll get one good big ear that is delicious. One amazing. Oh. I'm not too familiar with corn, so some of you may be going, that's not how that works, and I'm sorry. We're getting the point across. One fruit. And he's going to prune you, which we've seen in Matthew chapter something or other, I'm sorry. I didn't prepare as well as I would have hoped. I didn't take the time that I should have taken back before I knew that I would be preaching today. But one fruit, and this is that fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is our gold, our silver, our precious stones that we want to build with. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This is what we want, because this is what will follow us into eternity. Love will follow us into eternity. Joy will follow us into eternity. Peace will follow us into eternity. All that other stuff that makes you feel good, the works of the flesh, it won't. But this stuff is hard. Remember, working with gold as a building material is hard. Because the fruit that he wants to grow in you is long-suffering. What does that mean? That means you suffer for a long time. That means suffering long. Not short, not quick. Long. The fruit that he wants to grow in you, in me, in us, takes a long time. And it doesn't feel good. Because it's hard work to build with gold. It's hard work to set a precious stone in silver on a background of gold. That's hard to do. And it takes a long time to develop skill to be able to do that. But there's a reward. There's a reward if we do that. There's so much value in this fruit, in love, joy, peace. And we'll go ahead and finish reading this. Verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, the just natural brute desires, the things that just naturally are appealing to us. Those things, we said, let's crucify that with Christ. And let's do the thing that hurts. Let's be long-suffering. Let's have gentleness. When somebody else is beating on me, metaphorically, let me not beat them back. When a brother or sister in Christ is attacking me verbally, rather than lashing out and seeking strife, or, it's not said this way in the King James, but the vain glory, the self-building. Instead of building that, I choose to crucify my brute desires that want to lash out and make myself feel good. And I'm going to be gentle instead. That hurts. It's heavy to lift that gold beam into place. It takes a lot of work. But it's worth it. Faith. Gentleness, goodness, faith is hard. When it looks like there's no way out, to stop and say, I choose to walk in faith. I choose to go back to the one who has always come through, can be extremely hard when you've been praying for that thing and it hasn't come through for years and years and years. And you've been asking and asking and asking and say, no, I choose to believe my God is still good. I haven't seen it. I haven't felt it, but I know it to be true. And I choose faith. I'm not giving up. That's hard to do. That's a hard beam to lift into place, but it's worth it. So going back to the idea of one fruit, we're going to backtrack to 1 Corinthians, but chapter 13. 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 13. Which I would encourage you to read chapter 12 and 14. They're weird. They're really interesting, but they're weird. But 13 is right in the middle of them. And we're going to read chapter 13. And, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not, King James says charity, we say love, the Greek says agape. Every time we see charity and every time we saw love earlier, the word is agape, which is not just a feely, touchy, gooey, kind of love. That's a, I choose to do what is right. I choose love. I choose to do the fruit instead of the other thing. It's a hard love. It's a love that is the hardest for us to give and to do because it requires day after day after day of being committed to this agape. So, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not agape, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. We're not going to get really deep into that tonight. Today, this is supposed to be a Sunday night sermon. I would say, we're going to talk about this next week, but we're not. It's complicated. So, this is Sunday morning. But that's very interesting. And that's something we're going to be looking into, reaching into, kind of touching on, is these weird gifts of the Spirit. So feel free, come join us Sunday nights, first and second, if nothing's been canceled. Anyways, moving on. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not agape, the fruit, if I'm not working out of the fruit, if I'm prophesying hay, if I'm prophesying wood and stubble,
and hay,
I am nothing. Without this, I am nothing. And though I do the great thing, that's, you know, give to charity, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not agape, it profits me nothing. Even if I do the stuff, but out of the heart of that work of the flesh, out of that self-promoting vain glory, me myself, if I feed the poor to make myself look good, that's not the fruit. The fruit's not in here. It may look to people on the outside like, hey, that's some good fruit. It's rotten on the inside. And it profits me nothing. Agape suffers long. Oh, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Long suffering. Suffers long. Love. Agape suffers long. And is kind. Ooh. You mean when that person's been annoying me for months, I still have to choose to be kind? and not to make myself look good? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fruit is hard, I'm telling you, the fruit is hard. Charity envieth not, or agape doesn't envy what somebody else has, who somebody else is. Charity vaunteth not itself. Making myself look good doesn't count. That I'm vaunting myself up, that's not love. That's not agape. That's that work of the flesh. Is not puffed up. Pride puffs you up. That's why it's related to leaven, the yeast in the Bible that puffs up the bread. Pride puffs us up. That's not agape. If it's done out of pride, it's not agape, and it's not the fruit. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Agape does not seek. Agape, the person, you know. You understand, right? I'm sure. Is not easily provoked. That's a hard one. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Wait. You mean up here it has to be agape, it has to be a choice not to think about evil things, to not think about how to hurt somebody? Yeah, you even have to choose to think the right way. Or it's not agape. Or you've got nothing to take with you into eternity. Rejoices not in iniquity. When we see somebody stumble and fall, we don't say, yeah, you know, makes me look better than you. No, that's not agape. But rejoices in the truth. We don't, you know, take joy and pride and gossip and, you know, talking about how bad somebody else is. We rejoice in the truth. Whoa, stop. Let's get to the truth. Let's not hash things out third, fourth, fifth, sixth person just for fun. If somebody is saying, hey, this person has an issue, whoa, stop. Let's get the truth. Not just the fun stories that are roaming around, but go to the truth. Otherwise, there's no fruit. Bears all things. I don't want to carry somebody else's burden. But I have to, because that's agape. And I want to choose fruit. I want to have something with me in eternity, because that's more than forever. So I want to bear somebody else's burdens. I want to choose to consider other people's burdens. I want to bear all things. Believes all things. And notice there's a little bit of a progression here. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Can't hope anymore. I will endure all things. There's a progression there. I believe this person is telling me the truth, or is has a right heart in this situation. I want to believe that this person is genuine right now. I'm not sure I can believe anymore. I hope for the best in this person. No, it's evident. I can't even hope at this point. I will endure. Their unfaithfulness is hurting me. I will endure regardless. We've gone past the point where I can believe in this person. We've gone past the point where I can really hope in this person's motives. I'm going to endure. There's a little bit of a progression there. But moving on. Verse 8. Charity, love, agape never fails.
Amen.
From the start, when God made the world, Agape was there in God because God is agape. Agape never fails from start to finish. His agape will never fail. And when we go into eternity, agape goes with us. What agape we have built here, what gold we have built with in this life, will follow us into eternity because it never fails. When the trials of fire come, agape will stand the test. It will live. It will survive. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. There will come a day when we are in heaven and when we are in the very presence of the Lord, and we won't need prophecy. But we're not there yet. So he's putting agape above even this gift of the Spirit, prophecy. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. That's it, like a comes to an end, no more, is done. This thing becomes done. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And again, we're sandwiched in between these gifts of the Spirit, chapter 12, chapter 14. So that's kind of the context of this part. The weird stuff of what we say we believe. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Metaphor. Okay, here's the metaphor. Child, adult. For now, and he's now, we are children. We are the children of God. We are growing into adults, but it's a growth that is continual. We're not there yet. We are waiting for the day when we will be perfect in his presence. For now, we see through a glass darkly. So we can't see the Lord face to face. Like, we can't see beyond. We're limited. But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Which is a weird thing to try to think about. But, and now, abides. Start now. Build with gold, and it will last through the test. Faith, hope, love, or agape. These three. But the greatest of these is charity.
Love, agape.
So, we're building. Day after day, we're building a house. Metaphorically, we're building a house. We have started with the foundation of Christ. We don't want to go build somewhere else. We want to build our lives on Christ. And we don't want to build with the works of the flesh, these wood, hay, stubble things that aren't going to last through the test. We want to build with gold, silver, precious stones. We want to build with things that will last through the test. We want to develop the fruit. We want to focus in on the fruit. And I'm going to semi-quote something that I referenced that I don't have. Sorry, I'm not as prepared as I ought to have been. Again, but the Lord is the vine dresser. We are the branches. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. How do we do this exceptionally difficult thing of growing fruit? Exactly. A branch out on its own that's been removed from the vine can't do diddly squat. It has to abide in the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. Abide in him, and the fruit will grow. What does the branch do to grow the fruit? Not really a whole lot, except stay attached. It is what it flows through the vine into the branch that grows the fruit. It's the Holy Spirit at work in us that develops the fruit. Without the Holy Spirit, We can't build with gold because he's the one that provides it for us. Without the Holy Spirit working in us, there's not going to be any agape. Right? It's just not going to happen because that's not of the flesh. We can't manufacture that. So if we want to have an eternal reward, abide. Abide in the vine. Abide in Christ. How do you do that? Talk to him. Read his word. Pray. Pray without ceasing. The goal, effectively, is to spend every moment side by side with him. Everything you're doing, you're talking to him about it. He's always with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's always available. Anytime you want to talk to him, he's right there. You can abide in him anytime and all the time. But it takes a little bit of an effort on our part. I've heard it said, we can't do it without him, and he won't do it without us. We have been given free will. We can say, I'm not abiding in you. I'm going to go do my own thing. Wood, hay, stubble sounds good to me today. Thanks. And we can kind of stop the flow. Or we can choose. I'm going to open myself up. Focus on the vine. Focus on abiding in the vine. Let him flow. And the fruit will grow. Without the vine, we can't do diddly squat. And he is waiting for us to choose to abide in him. So as the praise team comes up, and I guess they'll be okay without that. So the call today is to build with gold, silver, precious stones. What that looks like is laying aside the flesh, picking up the Spirit, and letting him grow fruit, the fruit of agape, joy, peace within you. Let him do it, and he will. How do I do that? I abide in him. I give myself completely to the one who gave himself completely to me.